Goodbye, my one. Goodbye, Rosalita. Goodbye, my amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane. All that will call you will be
This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report special. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. Kidnapped at Federal Plaza.
Juan Jimenez came to the United States when he was 13 years old and worked for the United Parcel Service. He visited Federal Plaza several times to complete his paperwork, get fingerprinted, and pass the test required for U.S. citizenship. He received a letter to report again September 3rd. He thought he was getting his naturalization certificate, but got shackled instead. The next day at sunrise, he called home from JFK to say, "They're deporting me to the Dominican Republic." Weeks before, Howard Fassi, married to a U.S. citizen and the father of four children born in America, went to Federal Plaza to pick up his work authorization. He, too, had come in and out of that building several times during the year. But this time, he was detained and quickly deported to Jamaica.
The Department of Homeland Security claims these rapid-fire deportations are legal because both men had old deportation orders, but neither saw an immigration judge or received notice, even though both had made several trips this year to the immigration office and had been given every indication that their papers were in order. In response to a flood of calls that the group Families for Freedom received about numerous deportations, like that of Juan and Howard, the demonstration was called at Federal Plaza to demand an end to these summary deportations that are destroying families. And now we go to Federal Plaza to the demonstration.
¿Qué queremos?
Justicia.
¿Cuándo?
Ahora.
¿Qué queremos?
Justicia.
¿Cuándo?
Ahora.
Bring Juan Diego back
now.
Bring Juan Diego back now.
What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want it?
Now.
Families for Freedom is a network of families facing and fighting deportation in New York. In the last few weeks, our phones have been ringing off the hook. People have been coming into our offices saying, "Help, my husband just got deported. Help, my cousin just got deported. Help, my brother is somewhere I can't find him." And we are terrified thinking that this is what the future is going to look like for immigrant families in New York and across the country. People have no idea why they are being uprooted from their homes and their communities. By and large, people are afraid to speak out. We came here together today because we have two families that are courageous enough to share with the public what the government is doing to them. So we'd like to just turn it over to Mariana Tapia, whose cousin was just deported, and all of her supporters who are here today. Thank you.
Bueno, Juan Diego Jiménez es primo mío. Él es un joven que acaba de terminar la high school aquí en los Estados Unidos. Llegó a este país desde el 95. Se crió aquí, fue a la junior high school. Estaba en un equipo de pelota.
Bring Juan Diego back
now!
Bring Juan Diego back
now!
Bring Juan Diego back
now!
My name is Danis Rodriguez. I'm the coordinator of Citizen for Social Justice. I know Juan Diego as he's been my son, as I know the Tapia's family. Juan Diego was part of a pre-college program. Juan Diego came to New York. He went to school IS 143. Then Juan Diego went to Martin Luther King High School. Juan Diego graduated from high school. Recently, he was applying to join the Army. Recently, he applied to get his U.S. citizenship. 3 weeks ago, he got a letter saying that he had an appointment at 4 p.m. When he came to this building, he was so surprised because the only thing that he was told was, "You will be deported." The next day, at 6 in the morning, he was deported back to Dominican Republic. What is the criminal record of Juan Diego? To do good in high school, to do good in junior high school, to be a productive citizen in the United States. There was no reason why Juan Diego has to be deported, and there's no reason why thousands of people have been deported. What the FBI is doing today is following all those people, undocumented, following those people with green card, and get any excuse to send those people back. And we have to tell the FBI that George Bush here is stop deporting everyone here, but especially stop deporting working class people such as Juan Diego, who is a role model for the rest of young people. Stop deporting our people. Bring Juan Diego back. He came to this country with his green card. That's something that you should know. He didn't come as undocumented. We call the federal government here to review, to go over all those cases that they have right now, to bring Juan Diego back. Being Latino is a group of people who contribute, as it is also being a working class group of people in this city. You can be Asian, European, African, Latino, whatever any group we are coming from, we have the right here to live decent. Thank you. Bring Juan Diego back now! Bring Juan Diego back
now!
Bring Juan Diego back
now!
Well, this is simple. Juan Diego, he came here. He went to junior high school. Then he went to high school. He never has been arrested. He never used drugs. He was a young boy who my family is proud of it. He always helped the neighbor. He always helped my mother because he used to live with us. Before immigration took him away and sent him back to the DR, where he doesn't have basically any family over there. We just want Juan Diego here because he was raised here. Since 9 years old, he was here until he turned 19 years old because he was a good boy. Bring him back. How come you could say that to a 19 years old boy who basically is the innocent of everything that has been happening in this community? He called us like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon saying that, "Mommy, get somebody in the air to go to the airport and get us and get me to take him to any family over there." At 2 o'clock in the morning, he called and he said, "They're going to send me back to the yard." At 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, at 6 o'clock, he called from the JFK saying that he's going to be deported to the DR. At 6:30 in the morning, they didn't give us the right to get a lawyer to fight for his case. They deported him to the DR worse than he was a criminal because he got no right. They violated his right. Come on, people. He's just a kid, and he was getting to the army to defend this country, and that's the way they pay him. He's sending back, bring back my cousin, because he don't deserve that.
Bring Juan Diego back.
No.
Bring Juan Diego back.
No.
Bring Juan Diego back.
No.
My name is Sebastian Cattell. I'm a community organizer of the Families for Freedom. There's another case of another family that we want to talk about. Howard Facey. Here to read a statement is Arte Shahani from Families for Freedom.
When you have regular run-of-the-mill working-class families getting letters to come to Federal Plaza where they report and one member of the family gets deported, that is a crisis. When you have over a million people in the last 7 years get deported, none with any proven links to terrorism, that is a crisis. When you have people afraid to go to school, afraid to leave their homes, afraid to go to the police, afraid to go to hospitals because of their immigration status, that is a deportation crisis. It's the sort of thing that we see every single day. We learned about Georgiana and Howard Facey's case one morning when we got a call from their pastor. Howard went to Federal Plaza to find out about his work authorization papers. His wife is a U.S. citizen. They have 3 children born here in New York. He went to Federal Plaza thinking he was going to pick up his work authorization. When he went there, they had those papers ready for him, but they did not turn those papers over. Instead, they shackled him. They took him to prison, and from prison they took him to an airport to deport him. Georgiana called me on my cell phone at 6:15 a.m. the day that he got deported, holding back tears to say, "I can't believe it. They're taking Howard right now. He just called from the airport." But she is a working class woman, right? A working class Jamaican New Yorker who is a U.S. citizen. What does she do? She gets ready to go to work at Duane Reade, just like every other day. She does not have the time to break down. Right now she is in Jamaica, dropping off her youngest child, Christopher, to stay with Howard while she tries to manage the family here and fight to get him back. And what I have right now is a statement Howard says, I went to Federal Plaza that morning to pick up my work forms. When I went before a few months ago, they told me to just come back and things would be ready. The forms were ready, but the office would not give them to me. They told me I had some error years ago. I didn't really know what they were talking about. But they shackled my hands and feet and put a chain around my waist. Then they sent me over to a jail for a few days and then to the airport. I felt so awful, I couldn't believe it. Even though I'm not locked up, it feels like prison. I worry about the time that I'm spending away from my children. Georgiana's visit is so short. Our time is so precious, but it's so little. I don't know when I will see her again. I also miss my church activities. Right now, I'm just trying to stay focused and keep my spirits high. But I long so much to go home. I long to be with my kids. Hopefully, we won't be apart too long.
Bring Howard back!
No.
Bring Howard back!
No.
Bring Howard back!
No.
Now I want to introduce to the mic Ms. Julissa Reynoso from Dominicans 2000, an attorney as well.
I am Dominican, so I'm an immigrant, and I am an attorney. The issue of immigration is an issue that we all have to confront, and I'm specifically calling on all people of color, not only immigrants. I'm talking about African Americans, blacks, Asians, Latinos, citizens, non-citizens, documented and undocumented. This is America's new form of apartheid. This is America's new form of racial cleansing. Because if you look at the numbers, if you look at the hundreds of thousands of people who are getting deported, they're all people of color from the so-called developing world. And 9/11 was not the beginning of this crisis. Perhaps this is a time that we all are in shock that they actually pronounced it via the Patriot Act. And Ashcroft and Bush have no shame in actually coming forward with the Patriot Act that is explicitly racist, anti-immigrant, anti-people of color, and anti-poor. And our elected officials have done nothing for us. And this is the new civil rights issue that we have to take charge. I'm specifically calling on the African American community to join forces with us, people of the third world and citizens of this country, to come and help us restructure immigration law as if we don't deserve equal protection from everyone else, as if we are less human, as if we don't deserve the basic dignity, the basic human rights that an average person born in this country has. So it is about Juan Diego, but it's about a lot of other people too. This is about a basic human right to have liberty and dignity and some type of process. If you are going to be deported, if you are going to be questioned about your legal status, you should have right to counsel. You should have right to a hearing. You should have right to collect your goods. This is the type of stuff that we criticize of other countries. We send human rights activists to Haiti. We send human rights activists to Africa to investigate how African and these so-called backward governments are deporting people back and right, and we're doing it right here in New York City. So check yourself, America. Check yourself, because you are acting like a dictatorship.
Stop deportation when? Stop deportation now.
Now.
Stop deportation when?
Stop deportation now.
Stop deportation when?
Stop deportation now.
Stop deportation when?
Stop deportation now.
Adiós, no salida. Adiós, mis amigos, Jesús y María.
Currently, the federal government is trying to push through a new immigration law that would make what happened to Juan and Howard the rule rather than the exception. To find out more, you can contact Families for Freedom at 212-898-4121. That's 212-898-4121.
Adios, adios, mis amigos, Jesús and María. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane. No que los nombran son de portador.
This is a Building Bridges, your community and labor report special. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. After the adoption of the North American Free Trade Act, hundreds of thousands of newly unemployed Mexican workers migrated to the U.S. in search of jobs. In the New York region, we see them everywhere, working the lowest rungs of the occupational ladders, often forced to work in unsafe conditions, at below minimum wage, without overtime, and frequently cheated by employers because they are afraid to complain to authorities for fear of being deported. Since 9/11, Mexicans, along with other immigrant workers, have increasingly been harassed by the authorities, an issue which has been exacerbated by Mayor Bloomberg's new executive order curtailing immigrant rights.
Despite these adversities, there's still a new wave of labor and union activism among immigrants, sometimes working within existing unions and sometimes outside of them. One of the leaders of this movement in New York City is Jerry Dominguez, who led the organizing campaign among greengrocer workers in New York City and now is working to organize workers in laundries and dry cleaners. Jerry Dominguez is director of Casa Mexico and the Mexican Workers Association. And now, Jerry Dominguez.
In the 1930s, my grandmother, after she left my macho grandfather, she crossed the border. And she ended up in Texas as a domestic worker. And then my father crossed the border in the 1950s. He was a bracero. Then my brother crossed the border in 1980. Then I arrived to the U.S. in 1986, following all that tradition of mojados or wetbacks. My home state is Zacatecas in the north of Mexico, and it has a strong tradition of people coming to the norte, to the border, to the U.S. Since then until today, we have faced many, many different struggles, many, many different situations. One of them is that we are not respected as human beings. I used to be a farm worker in Florida and South Carolina. I used to work from sunrise to sunset for what? Basically $12 a day. And I remember picking tomatoes. We were giving like buckets of this size, maybe 40 pounds of tomato feed in each bucket. And we were giving up till this day 10 cents per bucket. How much do you pay for a tomato in New York? I moved to New York at the end of 1988. And then I saw how the green grocery workers were being exploited in the local market where you buy your vegetables and flowers. And I said, F*** you. I mean, we're exploited down there and we're exploited here too. Come on, man. You know. And then I said, well, I need to know what's going on with the labor movement here. Because in Mexico, I said, supposedly we are a third world country and labor laws are really bad. But then I'm comparing some of the different things. And I said, maybe we are not that bad. My sister, who is 45 years old, she is retired with full benefits. She's 45 years old. In my hometown in Zacatecas, people who pack the vegetables, they have a union. People who shine the shoes have a union. And also the medicine, many cases, if you don't have money, it's for free. If you are poor, you can get any surgery for free, too, if you are a worker. In Mexico, within 2 weeks of working in any place, big or small, by law, you're supposed to get full medical coverage. And all these things happen, and I say, well, maybe something is wrong here and in there, too, of course, because there is a lot of corruption with established unions. We know all that. So then, in 1998, after all this analyzing, supposedly, and thinking and knowing more about the labor movement in the U.S., we decided to call some of our good friends from organized labor. And we say, we are here. We are 8 million undocumented workers. Can you help us to organize? And they never call us. I'm still waiting the phone call after, 5 years. So we say again, f*** you one more time. And we decided to organize green grocery workers in Brighton Beach. And I remember my very good friend, Ken Nash, he was there. And I always laugh at this. There was this big green grocery called the Big Banana. And we say, boycott, I say, the big banana, boycott, the big banana. So that was a very good moment. And after that, then thanks to Local 169 of Unite and Ernesto Joffre, who passed away, he said, you know, Jerry, we need to do something about this because organized labor in general really doesn't care about these type of jobs. These type of jobs are very tiny, 2-3 workers, 5 workers, at most 10 workers. And New York only, we estimate that there are close to 1 million workers in these type of places. 1 million workers, and organized labor seems not to find them, but we are all over. We are the invisible workers. We usually work between 12 to 16 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week, no overtime, no benefit, no vacation, no holidays, nothing. In terms of the Mexican community, 99.9% were undocumented, no green card, no papeles, we say in Spanish. And that's a big situation. And after 9/11, things became even more complex. See, we were criminals, now we are terrorists. So we said, wow, man, we really moving that well. And then I remember one day we took over the Brooklyn Bridge. We marched across, and I received a phone call, and I was asked if Jerry was in the office. I say, it's me. How can I help you? And the guy said, hey, nothing. You cannot help me in anything. I said, why you call me then? He said, because we just want to say hi to you. We are from the Unit of Intelligence from the NYPD. And we know what you're doing, and we like you. I said, and nothing else. I said, okay. And they hang up twice already. And 1 month ago, suddenly a friend of mine from Casa Mexico and the Work Association, she arrived to the office very scared. And she said, Jerry, I have to tell you something. I said, what? The FBI is behind you. I said, yeah, really? Yeah, the FBI is what? Behind you? Yeah. So I was interrogated by the FBI, supposedly because I was sneaking people across the border, because I was selling fake IDs, fake green cards. I said, what's going on here? You know. So you face all these fights, and this is very serious. And it's good to transmit this to all of you in case you don't see me. But, well, anyway. One more time, we tell them, f*** you one more time. Well, excuse my language, but I need to express my true feelings. Then going into what happened after 9/11, and then the guerra against Afghanistan and Iraq, things became more complex to us. We were very dissatisfied with organized labor because it couldn't stand against the Bush administration. It's a shame on them. Then we found before that, or even after that, WorldCom and Enron, and how come the organized labor didn't face these crooks. Because, as you may know, the top leadership of the FL-CIO were crooks themselves. They were involved in this company called Yulico, I don't know how to pronounce it properly, and they were doing inside trading. And I say, before I knew that, how come they're not organizing like a campaign to tell, listen, all of us, white, black, Chinese, so on and so forth, we are workers. We are being exploited by this minute gang of corporate people. But they didn't do it because they are part of it too. And then in the year 2000, in February, finally the FL-CIO, almost after 100 years, they recognized that there are 8 million undocumented people like us. And they said, we want to help you. But we're still waiting that help. I don't see any help. It's only by words. But, well, that's only a general critic of that. One more critic is when it comes to the Mexican government, the Mexicans send close to $12 billion a year to Mexico, the poor people working here. And back there, that money is used for our poor families to really survive because the main source of income is oil and tourism, but that's translated into poor-paying jobs in Acapulco and Cancun. The petroleum or the oil is controlled by the corrupt PRI, the political party that has been in power. Supposedly, it lost the presidency, but I don't think so. But, well, when it comes to the campaign that we're running, there are, in 1998, the Green Grocery Campaign, 14,000 workers in the city. I am glad to say that up to this moment, thanks to the work of local community groups, Elliot's Pizza from the State Attorney General, the radios, newspapers, so on and so forth, the lives of these 14,000 souls and their families have been improved. From making $180, $200 a week, now they make $400, $500. Now they get some benefits. In some instances, even the employees create their own contract, so the workers don't get scared. Before they used to say, the Mexicans give them jobs. Now they say, wait, be careful, the Mexicans are here. So it's different now. And again, we are not, as Mexican, I'm not Mexican all the way. I always say this because we are workers. We are one single family of people, working people. So we are open to everybody. We tend to be, we are inclusive as much as we can and as much as possible. Now we're leading since October a citywide laundry campaign in New York State. There are calculated 12,000 workers, mostly female, 70% we calculate. And we are basically targeting most of the small laundromats and tiny cleaners in Manhattan. From 125th Street all the way to Houston, we just mapped 500 of them. And the conditions that are going on in there just are unbelievable. Well, we went to complain to the newspapers. And this lady was working for 84 hours a week. She was making an average of $3 per hour. And every week, the employer was taking $25 from her pay to pay for toilet paper, plus $25 because she was using electricity with her radio. And on top of that, every time he used to get mad at her, he used to pull her from the hair and move her from place to place inside this small laundromat. So these kind of things are going on. Also in the, now it's less, but before in the green groceries, it was common to hear that the employer, every time he got mad at the workers, he put them in the freezer. So they know what's going on. So they know who is the boss. Many times, local police officers, I mean, not all of them, some of them were really nice, but I mean, all others, they were like animals. I mean, one time we were being beat up by a bunch of people passing by. And then we got into an argument, we got into a fight. The cops arrived and they arrested us because we were disturbing the peace. I said, we were not disturbing the peace. We were behind the barricades that you put. And they said, you shut up. And I said, okay, I shut up. So we have been arrested several times besides people investigating us in the different departments. But let me tell you one thing. We're not going to stop. And if organized labor is not prepared for the 8 million undocumented people, we want to have to do something else. Because we are tired that we are used as political pawns only whenever it's necessary to say that they're helping us. But what about sponsoring a ESL class, a computer class? What about helping us pay the rent? They have a lot of money. We're struggling for that. These are basic things. Somebody else was saying something in the morning that they provide certain educational services. We do too. We have GED, we have literacy, we have computers, we have labor literature classes. But most of all, and I encourage this to everybody, is action, action, and planning, and planning. We cannot keep using our time in only talking about doing things. We need to do things out there, right on the streets. I'm facing the employer face-to-face, facing the NLRB. By the way, the NLRB is obsolete for me because we never use it, literally. The labor department also is kind of obsolete. At this moment, the only entity that is helping us is the Attorney General in a real way, in a systematic way. And I encourage all of you to really go to the forefront and fight with action, with real things. It's not easy, but we can do it.
To find out more about the Laundry and Dry Cleaner campaign, call the Mexican Workers Association at area code 917-492-0807. That's 917-492-0807.
This has been a special filed by Building Bridges, your community and labor report.